This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
So first of all, it's always wonderful for me to have the opportunity to speak with Yadid Nafshi, with my dear friend, with Charlie. I speak first really just to warm you up, to get you ready for Charlie. That's really what my job is. You know, when I was in high school, we used to go to concerts, and I don't mean Uncle Moishe. We used to go to concerts in Madison Square Garden, Nassau Coliseum, Queens College, and we were all excited because it was like a famous band that was playing. And then they sent out this band that we never heard of to play for an hour before. Okay, so that's my job here tonight. But I have nachas, because I love Charlie and we're good friends. So let me just prepare you a little bit. And I'm going to say in advance, I have a very important meeting someplace. I might have to leave a few minutes early, so it shouldn't be chalila misinterpreted in any way. I think you all have heard of the Rebbe Reb Zusha, Susi again, Elaine. And it's very, very well known that Reb Zusha was different. He was different in so many ways. And we know many of the things that we know about Reb Zusha is because of his brother, the Rabbi Elimelech. Rabbi Elimelech shared with us so many sweet and beautiful things about his brother Reb Zusha. And one of the things that we know is that the Rebbe Reb Zusha used to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh before he would go to sleep. He would make an accounting of his soul. He would review the day. And we're told by his brother that on a typical night, you know, the two brothers would wander around Poland and Russia disguised as simple beggars. And on one typical night, before they went to bed, the Rebbe Reb Zusha was making a cheshbon ha-nefesh. And his brother heard him say, "I, Zusha," he didn't like the word "I." He used to call himself Zusha by his name. And he said, "I, Zusha, Zusha, you weren't good today. And Zusha, you're chayiv, you're guilty." And he would cry a little bit. His brother said he would cry a little bit, and then Reb Zusha would be mechazik himself. And he would say, Zusha is mekabel upon himself, accepts upon himself to be better tomorrow. To be better tomorrow. And then he was excited a little bit. And then all of a sudden he would be sad, and he would say, "But Zusha said the same thing yesterday. Zusha said the same thing yesterday, that he's going to be better today." And then he would pause and he would say, "But today Zusha really, really means it. He's going to be better today. I'm going to be better today." And then he was a little sad and he said, "But that's exactly what Zusha said yesterday, that he's going to really, really be better." And then his brother said he was mechazik himself, the Rebbe of Zusha. And Besimchi, he said, "But tonight, be'emes la'amita, in the truth of truths, I'm going to be better tomorrow." That's what we all want. And I believe that it's no less true of us, not in that level. But it's no less true of us that be'emes, we truthfully want to be better. And we are truthfully seeking something new. Some is chadshus. Everybody wants freshness, something new, something different, not only in fashion, not only in entertainment, not only in things and places, but in ourselves. We want something fresh. We want something new. This sugya of his chadshus, of renewal, of freshness, of refreshing ourselves, It's a very, very deep sugya. What I'm going to talk about now for around the next 40 minutes or so, 45 minutes, is what do we really mean when we wish each other a good year? Shana tova, shana tova, a good year, a good kibbenst year, a good year, a sweet year. What do we really mean? What does that mean? What kavanah should we have? That's all we're saying to each other now. Every one of us is saying to each other, a good year, a good year. In Eretz Yisrael, shana tova, shana tova. What are we wishing each other? What kavan, what thoughts? Simple can we have? But I'm going to say now it's very direct and simple. What simple thought can we have? A kavana. Not just to say a good year. A good year and to mean it. What does that mean? The first time that the Jewish people went to Galus, after, of course, we began in Egypt, but the first time that we were forced out of our land, that we were forced out of Eretz Yisrael, that, of course, is Galus Bavel in Babylonia. And at that point, it's very, very clear when we study the Navi, it's very clear that we felt at that time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was done with us. We didn't believe that this was a temporary decree. We understood that, we felt that as something that was a divorce. Chazal, based upon the Navi, tell us that the Zekanim came to the Navi, the elders of the Jewish people came in, and understood that it was the end of Jewish history. It was the end of this romance with Hashem. It was done. And the Zohar HaKadosh says something astonishing. The Zohar says that when we were in that terrible matzav, that terrible, the lowest we ever were in, we were degraded and humiliated, taken out in chains and beaten out of Yerushalayim to Bavel. And when we were in that matzav, the Zohar says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu called to all the malachim, all of the angels, all of the pamaliyah shamayla, all of the angels, all levels of angels. And he said the following, I'm translating from the Aramaic of the Zohar. Hashem said, Ma atem oisim kan? What are you doing over here, hanging around, lingering in Shemayim, in the Yerushalayim Shalmala, in Jerusalem above? Bonai ahuvai yordim lebovel va'atem kan? My beloved children are descending in disgrace to Bavel. And you're here, living it up in Shemayim? Kumu uredu kulchem lebavel. Hashem commanded all of the angels and all the souls in Shemayim. Kumu uredu kulchem lebavel. Stand up. All of you descend, go into Bavel. Va'ani imachem. And I will go together with you into Bavel. The Navi at that time was, of course, Yechezkel. And the Zohar continues and tells us, Uchshiyorda lebavel niftuchu ha-shamayim. We thought that everything was finished. We thought that we were sent away. There was a divorce. And all of a sudden we find, as we're told in Yechezkel at the beginning, the heavens opened. Ruach nevuah kedoshe sharasal Yechezkel. And the ruach of prophecy descended upon Yechezkel, which was extraordinary, because as you know, nevuah is something which is particularly an Eretz Yisrael digger phenomena, right? It's not in Chutzlar. And the Shechina descended upon Yechezkel over there. Al Naharas Bavel, by the rivers of Babylon. V'ra'a kol ma'asherah. And he saw what he saw. That's described in Navi. The greatest vision of all prophets, with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, but the greatest vision of all the prophets. V'omer lahem liYisrael. And Yechezkel said to the Jewish people, Hare Adoinchem Kan, behold, your master is here. The Baruch Shalom is here. He's here with us. He didn't stay behind in Shemaim. He didn't stay behind in Yerushalayim. Hare Adoinchem Kan. Kevin Shiro Yisrael. And the Jewish people were, on some level, able to experience that opening of heaven and the descent of all of the angels, kivyochel, with the Shechina herself. And Kevin Shiro Yisrael Somchu Loi Pachadu Al Galusa Klal. They rejoiced and they were no longer afraid of what was waiting for them in Galus. Ki Yodu Shakadosh Baruch Hu Lo Yazoi Vaisa. Because they knew with certainty that no matter where we were going to go, no matter what would befall us in Galus, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Lo Yazoi Vaisa, that Hashem Yisbaruch will never ever leave us. That was the beginning of Sefer Yechezkel. That was the reassurance, the hug that we received when he went into Galus. Now, where exactly in Babel did this happen? To be more specific, where did this happen? When we say Al Naharos Bavel, Sham Yashav Nagam Bachina, where? What river? So the Navi Yechezkel includes his location in the prophecy. And he says, Vani besoch hagola. And I am in the midst of Golos. Rav Kook has a very deep teaching on that, that each and every Jew says, Va'ani, the deepest part of myself, the Ani of who I am, the essence of my being, is in Golos. The Va'ani is besoch hagolos. Va'ani besoch hagola, where? Al Nahar Kvar. There's a river that it's called in Hebrew Nahar Kvar. In English it's written C-H-E-B-A-R, I believe, but in Hebrew it's Nahar Kvar. Vani besoch hagoyla Nahar Kvar. Niftuchu ha-shamayim ve'ere maris elokim. This is where it happened. Niftuchu ha-shamayim ve'ere maris elokim. The heavens were open and I saw visions of God. It means that Yechezkel HaNavi was revealing to us that the beginning of Galus is always in that world that's called Nahar Kvar, the river Kvar. What does that mean? Nahar Kvar. What does the word mean, Chavre? What does the word mean in Lashon HaKodesh? Kvar. It's a kvar haya. What does it mean, kvar? No? Already. It means already was. Kvar. Kvar haya. Nahar kvar is the river of already was. And that means that when a Jew feels, this is the beginning of galus, v'ani b'soicha galus, this is that journey into Bavel, into the Bilbulim, the confusion of Galus. When a Jew feels a feeling, of whatever was in my life that took place this past year, defines who I am. And I cannot make the coming year any different than what was already. When a person feels that once upon a time I was a good girl, once upon a time I was innocent, kvar hayiti, I was once tmimizdik, I was once happy. I was once upon a time pure. That hargosha, that feeling, that I cannot change what was. I cannot get back to the good stuff that was. It was. And I cannot fix or live differently than the bad stuff that was. It was. That's the deeper meaning of what Yechezkel was saying, Vani besoicha goyla al nahar kvar. Al nahar kvar. That means that I've made mistakes in my life in the past. I've seen things in my life that I shouldn't have seen. I've said hurtful words to people, and the damage was done. Kvar na'aseh. The damage has already been done. That way of thinking is called Nahar Kvar. That's Golos. The river of was. The river of was. Geula, redemption, is the opposite. The name that Hashem revealed through Moshe Rabbeinu when we were sitting in Egypt and we felt that we were stuck in that misery of what was. You all know that the name of redemption was what? What name of Hashem did He reveal? Which one of His holy names? Aleph Hey Yud Hey. Ekya Asher Ekya. I will be. I will be that I will be. Which the Zohar says, on Azamin Lamahavi, I will become. I am prepared to change. I am ready for something new. Golus is kvar, was. With all the limitations of that word, and how it paralyzes, stifles and destroys. And Geula is Aleph Hey Yud Hey. Geula is that feeling that I'm free. I'm free to change, to be whoever I want to be, to become. I've mentioned a number of times here in Shul that when I went back to yeshiva, and as a student, but to be mashpia in the yeshiva, so many, many people would ask me, this was like the question. Rebbe, which do you enjoy more, being in yeshiva or being in shul? You know, either way, if it gets out, like I'm cooked, you understand? Because I'm just happy everywhere, I love everybody. And I do. But the question was, you know, really, come on, Rebbe. Where is it better? So it's not a matter of better. But I said, but this is an important chiluk. I love everybody. I love both places. But when you're dealing with an olam that's already moving ahead in years, settled, married, and so on, 30s and 40s and 50s plus, many of the conversations that I have with Chevra are about what was. Sometimes it was the girl that I should have married and I didn't marry. I know that's a sad thing to say, and it's a sad thing for me to hear. The children I wished that I had had. The learning I wish I had done. There's so much was. There's so much kvar. There's so much of the past. But when I'm talking with Bachram, that are 18, 19, 20, 21, the conversations, they have some of that. But I'm able to knock that away very easily. It doesn't take much work. It's not 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of stuff. And then You talk to Bach and it's all about, Rebbe, you really think I could be that? Rebbe, you really think I could do that? You think I could be successful in that? And many times I would joke and I'd say, no, I'm just kidding, I don't think you could do it. But then I said, no, of course you can. Of course you can. What do you mean? You want this? You could do it. That's the name of redemption. Aleph Hey Yud Hey. I will be who I will be. This is the entrance into the world of tshuva, into this time of the year, every day, but especially this time of the year. When a person is stuck on Nahar Kvar, by the river of Babylon, the rivers of Babylon, on the Haros Bavel, but this is the river, Kvar. If a person is able to overcome that inertia of the past, if he's able to scream louder than that depressing Nahar Kvar voice in his ear, and he's able to hear exactly what Hashem told the Jewish people when they were going down to Bavel, into that confusion of Galus. But not in the plural, but in the singular. Bini Ahuvi, Biti, my beloved daughter, my beloved son. I am here with you in Bavel. I am with you in all of your bilbulim and all of the confusion. I am here with you. Then even in that place of Ani B'Sar HaGoyla, no matter what has happened in the past, each one of us is able to experience what our ancestors did by that river. Niftuchu Hashemayim ve'er maris alakim. Niftuchu Hashemayim, something new opened up. Ve'er maris alakim, and I was able to see a vision. Not like a nevuah, but a vision of God being with me in that place. And saying in a much sweeter and stronger way than I was saying to the Bach and Yeshiva, of course you could do it. Of course. And you know, Kvar is also used in a different way in Lashon HaKodesh. Can any of you think the same word Kvar? And you could even borrow from the English with this as well. The same English word that we said a moment ago. On the one hand, Kvar means it already was, it's fafal. It was. And it's just, that's all that there is my past. But Kvar also means something else. Have any of you ever taken a monit in Eretz Yisrael, a taxi? Yeah? I thought you all take buses. Say that. Or if you've ever just gotten a ride with somebody in Eretz Yisrael, and you're late, because it once happened to me, it happened to me, I have a lot of interesting stories with drivers over the years, but there was one in particular that was in trouble with his wife, and he told me he must stop off to say something to his wife, or else she's going to leave him. And it was totally out of the way, and I had to speak at a seminary in 15 minutes, and he wanted to make like a half-hour stopover. And I had to also try to help because they were fighting with each other. And she called out to me, she said, Rebbe, could you speak to him? He's crazy. The craziness, I'll just let you in on this if you're interested what the craziness was. They were building a place in Gilo, an apartment. And he didn't feel that it was necessary to have a kitchen. And she's screaming at him that how could a house not have a kitchen? And she asked me to come out of the taxi. I said, look, I have to be in 4 minutes in Givat Shaul. You know what I'm saying? And we're in Gilo. So she says, Rebbe. I told her, Rebbe. I said, yes, honey, Rebbe. They're not religious, by the way, these people. So then you have to judge. So I said, Zemet, Atalo Zemet Bach. Is that true that you don't want a kitchen? Look. Look, you know how they do that? Look. And I asked them, Echse Dira Blimet Bach, an apartment without a kitchen. She says to me, Lotzari, Chaima Shali, Mamash Mimu. My mother has an apartment down the block. I don't have to waste the money on our own kitchen. My mother has a kitchen. So she starts screaming, I'm supposed to go to my mother-in-law every time for breakfast. And he says, so if you've ever been one of those guys, like I was at that time, and I said, Moti, that was his name. I said, Moti, Ma'iyeh Moti, I can't help you anymore here with your wife. You got to work this out. I got to get to this shiur. I got to give a shiur. He says, Rabbi, anachnu kvar magi'im. So then what does it mean? Anachnu kvar magi'im. Translate? We're already almost otot, right? Otot. Kvar magi'im. Now that's not just an Israeli it's not a misuse of Lashon HaKodesh, although there are many Hebrew words that are misused in modern day Israel, but that's not one of them. Shlomo Melech said, Ki kvar ratzo ha'elokim es ma'asecha. In Koheles, Perek Tes, Hashem has already accepted your tshuva. He's already accepted your tshuva. He's already there. What's that talking about? So the Shulchan Aruch brings down. In the halachas of Motzi Yom Kippur, in the halachas of the end of Yom Kippur, the Shulchan Aruch brings down, in the Siman Tov Resh Chav Dalet, She'oichlu musmeichem k'tzaz b'metzoy Yom Kippur, that Motzi Yom Kippur, we should eat not just because we're hungry from fasting, but Motzi Yom Kippur we should eat something special, something extra. Why? So the Shulchan Aruch says, the Havik Tzas Yontiv. It's a little Yontiv. Matzim Kippur is a little Yontiv. The Mishnah Berurah writes over there, in the name of many Rishonim, in the name of the Medrash, Kid'isa B'Medrash. The Chavetz Chaim brings the Medrash, and the Medrash says, the Bas Kol Yoyt says Matzim Kippur, that a voice comes down from heaven, right at the end of Yom Kippur. Right when we say Hashem Elokim, we blow the shofar, a voice comes down from Shemayim, Vayimeres, and says the Pasuk in Koheles, Lecha chol b'simcha lachmecha, u'shasei b'leiv toiv yeinecha, go and eat your bread with joy. U'shasei b'leiv toiv yeinecha, and to have a drink of wine with a good heart, with a glad heart. Why? Ki kvar ratza Elokim es ma'asecha. Because the Baruch Shalom has already forgiven you for everything. Kvar ratza Elokim es ma'asecha. He's already completely, completely pleased with you. He's made up with you. Kvar ratza means there was already ritzui. He's completely appeased and he's made up and everybody's happy. Kvar ratza Elokim. Therefore, Matzi Yom Kippur, right after Yom Kippur, is Ashtagul Yontif. It's a little yontif. So that feeling of kvar nislachti, kvar nimchalti, I am already forgiven. Is describing the ultimate feeling of redemption. The ultimate feeling of freshness, of something new, of Aleph Yud Hey, of I can be. I'm already, and Kvar Higati. I'm already there. I'm already on my way. And therefore, when a person says to another Jew, Shana Taiva, a good year, Shana, of course, you know, means a year, but it means l'hishtanos, it means to change. It means a shinui. That's the language of redemption. In the Aramaic translation, in the Targum, Shana is translated as Shata. Like, when do we say that in the Haggadah? By the Halach, by the Halach Manya, Hashata Hochel. Hashata Hashta means now. But it implies being in a certain place and being stuck in that place. That's what we say, Hashata Hocha, and we're davening that it should be Lashon HaBa, it should be Ba'aradi, so it should be Netzis. Because that language, Aramaic, is the language of Bavel, of confusion, of Golos. And therefore, the Sforim say that Targum, which means the Aramaic translations, Targum, is the gematria, has the numerical value of Tardema. What does Tardema mean? Deep sleep. It means not being able to move forward. So in the language of Golas, Shana is Hashta Hashata, and it means here, in this place. I can't go forward. And the word Shana can also mean to repeat, like Mishnah Torah. Not to get anywhere, just to keep on repeating yourself. Your whole life just keeps on repeating itself. But in Lashon HaKodesh, the deeper meaning of Shana is Shinui, Liyot Shoneh, to be different. And that means that when you and I decide to make even small changes for the better in our lives, Anachnu Kvar Higan. We're already in a new world. We're not in Bavel anymore. We're in that world of Niftuch HaShemayim Ve'erem Haaretz Elokim. We're in the world of Aradi Yisrael of Yerushalayim. This, by the way, is the shorish, is the root of the unbelievable simch that you see by little children. And that's what I meant when I was talking about young people, but it's even more so when they're really, really little. You see how little children are always running, yeah? Even in the house, even though they have nowhere in particular to go. But they just run to do this, or they run there, they're running. Because a child is so far from the world of Kvar, because he doesn't have a past that entraps him. He doesn't have a past of mistakes, of faults, of fights, of disagreements, of sins, of failures, of disappointments. He doesn't have that. And therefore, a child lives every moment with chavayot chadashot. It's new. You know, one of the funniest things with little kids, and you know, you gotta watch out for that, is that with a child, if you do something with a special, I'm saying like with a baby, even a 1 year old, even older, when you do something that's funny, like you do something goofy with a little kid, you could repeat it 1,000 times and they just laugh the same every time. You ever do that? And like the adult is already, okay, you know. You go, and the kid goes, and then you, or you put your thing, something over your face, you go, and he goes, like, what are you, surprised? Are you an idiot? I did this 50 times already, and every time you take the thing off your face, the kid goes, the kid's surprised and excited and happy and laughing. It's a Rachmanix, and like, you know, 25 years, when he walks into his house and he sees his wife, she's just going to look at him like, you again? You know? But right now, everything in his life is, surprise. Everything is new. Everything is new. There's no inyan of galus. There's no nahar kvar. There's no river of wasness, of already. Everything is only what will be, what can be, what is, what's going to be. And that's why Rabbi Nachman said something which, like many of the things he said, are misunderstood. Because if you hear the words, it sounds a little bit funny. You know, right now there are like 50, 60,000 Jews, Kanayin Hara, that are in Uman, on their way to Uman. Could be even more, because of what Rabbi Nachman said. One of the things that Tzadik Yisod Olam said was, Osir Liyos Zoke. It is forbidden to be an old person. Osir Liyos Zoke. Hein Tzadik Zokein, Hein Chosid Zokein. Rabbi Nachman said, I have no tolerance for old Tzadikim. I'm not interested in old Chasidim. Zokein Einoi Toiv. Old people are not good. Now, if you take that sentence, it sounds horrible. Old people are not good. Nabuchi never lived to be an old person. He died when he was 38, Rabbi Nachman. Zokein Einoi Toiv. An old person is not good. There's a long Torah from his great student, Rabbi Nosson, Lukut Eloch, his tefillin, Halacha Hey, Ay, Hey, Sif Hey. A long, long Torah that's going on the story, the Sipuri Maises of the seven beggars, but what it means when Rabbi Nachman said, Zokin, that old age is not good, an old person is not good. Rabbi Nachman wasn't talking, God forbid, about not loving old people. He was talking about, I don't like when Jews spend their lives swimming upstream in the Har Kvar. I just can't stand that. I can't stand it when people are living stuck in the past. I can't stand it when their Kvar is everything that is already, it already was, all the bad stuff, it already was, and that's all I am. All the good stuff, I'm always giving it once was, but it's finished. You know, Tinok, a child, a baby, an infant, Tinok, Rabbi Nachum said, spoke about that word, is the oasis of Tikkun, of fixing oneself. A Tinok is the oasis of the letters of Tikkun. A child lives in a constant state of nituk. What does nituk mean? Nituk means disengaging, separating from what was. Nituk. And because of that, he doesn't spend his life saying kinos. When he's a little child, it's the same letters, kinos. It's the same letters as tinok, as tikkun, as nituk. Since the tinok is constantly being menatek himself from the river of Kvar, the tikkun that he makes is such that he never ever says kinos. He never ever is depressed. He's never saying lamentations of Tisha B'Av. He's never in that place of Al Naharas Bavel Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachina. Child can't sit for more than 10 minutes. I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored. Something new. And this is the Sherish of Tshuva. This is the root of Tshuva. It's in this week's parasha, Ki HaMitzvah HaZayis, Asher Anoichi Mitzavcha HaYom. This mitzvah, this machlok is what it's referring to, but the simple pshat, the way it's understood, and Pashtus, and Ramban, and others, as it's referring to the context, it's talking about the mitzvah of tshuva. Ki mitzvah hazayis, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. This mitzvah that I'm giving you of tshuva, today, lo nefleisi mimcha v'lo rechaykihi, it's not far from you, it's not mevel yom, it's not b'shamayim, it's not in heaven, it's not across the ocean, the river, it's not there. Ki karev elecha adavim ma'oid b'ficha b'lovcha l'asayis. It's right here, right now in your life, to change, to do this. The word aveira, a sin, comes from the word avar. From kvar, avar. That's where the word aveira comes from. This doesn't mean that tshuva does not include a person taking account of mistakes that were made. It doesn't mean that a person doesn't need to feel any remorse doesn't need to remember mistakes of the past, doesn't need to take achrayas responsibility for himself. But the beginning of one's being able to even consider tshuva, to even consider change, so that one can look back and fix certain things, the beginning is to climb out of the river Kvar, of Nahar Kvar. By Chabad, they say that Amalek is connected to the Yiddish word Amol. What does it mean, Amol? Whoever knows Yiddish, what does it mean, Amol? It was, once was. Amol. Amol is given. It once was. Amalek, Amol. And that's why the Svarim say the whole meaning of Amalek is to convince a person, Amol, that whatever once was, that's all there is. And therefore, it says in the Chabad Svarim that the only way to defeat Amalek is what it says in Chumash. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave out the mitzvah to Yeshua and to the Jewish people, say hilochem ba'amalek machar. Say hilochem ba'amalek machar. The enemy of Amalek, of Kvar, of Amol, of what was, is machar. And if you look at Megillas Esther, we don't have time now, if you look at Megillas Esther, machar, machar is repeated, machar kedasayo, machar, Esa kedvar hamelech, machar, machar, tomorrow, tomorrow, I will do what the king says, tomorrow, tomorrow. It's the opposite of Amalek, which is Amol, which was. And this is exactly what's taught. I'll try, hopefully, like another 5-10 minutes. And this is exactly what's taught by Rabbeinu Yonah in Yisayda Tshuva. Not Shari Tshuva, Yisayda Tshuva. Odom Asher Posha V'choto Bolach Seis Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. A person who sinned and wants to now come under Hashem's wings. Likoneis B'darchi Tshuva. He must see himself ki'ilu, he was born today, as a little child, as a baby. Ki'ilu, bo b'yom nolad. It's a clean slate, he has no mitzvahs, he has no aveiras. V'ze hayom t'chilas ma'asach. We say in the davening of Hashanah. And now we could also understand what Rabbi Nachman taught. It's in Sichas Aran Chavav. We have a chance you should see his lashon. It's very beautiful. Eitzel ha'olam ashikhu hu chisaron gadol b'neihem. Rabbi Nachman said that the world thinks of forgetfulness as something which is very unfortunate, as a terrible chisaron. Forgetting. Shikhu. Avo b'eini. Said, in my eyes, it's a great gift to be able to forget. Because if a Jew would be unable to forget his mistakes, it would be impossible to do anything in serving God. If a person would remember all that has happened to him and all that he's done, all of his difficulties and suffering and all of his mistakes, he wouldn't be able to lift himself up. He wouldn't be able to get out of bed to do anything. And he would become confused. Bavel, all the bilbulim would confuse him. And therefore, Rabbi Nosson explains, we know that when we were at Har Sinai, suddenly we were able to remember and never forget. We were able to remember. And when did we begin forgetting again? By the broken luchas. When the tablets were broken, shikha, forgetfulness, came back to our lives. And Rabbi Nosson says, what an amazing gift. And that was the beginning of our doing tshuva, when we saw Moshe Rabbeinu throw down the luchas, and the luchas were broken. In order that the Jews should be able to begin again and stop thinking about the past. He has to remove all from his mind all that once was. This is the ikur of tshuva. This doesn't mean fooling oneself. Look for a moment into the Kedushas Levi you have in front of you. You know, it's a very beginning even to mention the name of Levi Yitzchak ben Sarasasha, especially this time of the year. That when we say his name, even when you just say Baditchev, the Svarim say, it already causes Hashem to smile and to drop all kinds of gifts into the world. When we say Levi Yitzchak ben Sarasasha from Baditchev, just a few words. Look, what an amazing thing he says. Because you might think that Rabbi Nachman is talking about, you know, it's a very sweet thing. We're supposed to try to fool ourselves. And, you know, and say that it never happened, or I don't remember. What the Kedusha Levi says here is so deep. It's chaval, they rush through, but try to look at it if you have a chance. It's in the Kedusha Levi by Tisha B'Av. By Tisha B'Av. At the last pasuk of Eicha. On the side of Peites, there are two sides, the side that's Peites. You see that there's an asterisk over there? You see? The left side, left column. Side, page Peites. Hashem, bring us back to you. We want to return to you. Chadesh Yameinu. We want to have new days. Get kept in the way that it was when we were little. But in a good way. V'yesh diktuk ma'ike kedem. What does that mean? Chadesh Yameinu kekedem. V'yuvru al pi ha-medrash v'ati yisro ma'asham ha-kel shom yimach ki'im li'ira. What does it mean? V'yisro ha-medrash, the medrash says, all God wants of us is that we should fear him. Ein va'ata ele tshuva. So Chazal say that the word ata with an ayin, what does ata means now? Means to return, means tshuva. O'perusho kach. Mishum dekol odem v'odem Yisrael mechuyev lahamin be'munah shleima. Every Jew must believe with full faith. Shebechol rega v'rega mekabel chiyas ma'bari baruch hu. That every single moment Hashem is giving you a new life. It's not figurative, it's real. Every single breath. Kol ha'neshama is kol neshima neshima. K'may shadar shekol ha'neshama tahalel. Kol neshima neshima tahalel. Turn it over. Shebechol rega achiyas writes a lot says min ha'adam. Every single moment, life wants to leave the body. The life wants to leave. The soul wants to get out of the prison of the body. Therefore, tshuva works for everybody. Because when you do tshuva, it means that you believe in this great truth that at this second of your life, you never ever were in the world before. Completely new. Therefore, Hashem does not remind you of your past sins. The Rebbe says twice, but if chas v'shalom, you don't believe in this, and you live in the river Kvar, you live in that river of Kvar of was. What he says, tshuva doesn't work. Tshuva can't get launched. That's what it means. Va'ata, and now, means, and now I just came into the world, that's tshuva. Came to mam and shu'ata b'riya chador sh'mahani lo tshuva. Because I believe that I am already somebody new, this second. And therefore tshuva works. And that's the meaning of the pasuk, ha'shevein ha'shem lechem b'na tshuva. Ve'eich na tshuva, chadesh yameinu kekedem. Chadesh yameinu kekedem. That's the meaning of chadesh yameinu kekedem. So I don't want to take any more time from Charlie, I took enough. And from you. Some of you might have seen, so instead of a story, I'll just tell you something you probably have seen. Over the past 5 days or so, I would say approximately 80 or 90 chevra have sent me a little clip a little clip that of a British lecturer by the name of Pinchas Donner, speaking to an audience somewhere, I don't know where it was, I think he lives in California, I'm not sure if it was there or in Eretz Yisrael, wherever it was, speaking about a tzaddik called the Yablana Rebbe. Have any of you seen it? You didn't see this? The Yablana Rebbe. You saw it. Okay, so you make sure everybody gets it. You get it? I know these things take around 10 seconds. Everybody will have. Okay, I can't say it over, it's kedai to see. The whole thing is like 20 minutes. It's kedai. Now, I had heard about this tzaddik. His name is Reb Cheskel Taub. Reb Cheskel Taub is a descendant of the tzaddikim from Majid. You all heard of Majid. Kozhmir Majid. That world of tzaddikim in Poland. And he was a descendant. His father was a big rabbi. He was an up-and-coming all-star of a tzaddik in Poland in his 20s. He already had hundreds and hundreds of chassidim, and he was known as a fire. He actually was very attached to the Eish Kodesh, after whom the shul is named. And the Eish Kodesh saw in him the future of Polish Jewry. Big tzaddik. Now, this Reb Cheskel Taub, the Yablana Rebbe, I had heard about him. I had heard about him, and I assumed that he either died in Eretz Yisrael, as many of his Hasidim did, from malaria and other sicknesses, or that he went back to Poland and he was killed like his Rebbetzin was. He is, together with somebody else, the founder of Kfar Hasidim, near Haifa. He was on fire with Eretz Yisrael, and he took over 100, 150 Chassidim families to settle in Eretz Yisrael in the 1920s, which is a very, very big thing. It's a tragic story. He borrowed lots of money from Chassidim in Poland. The whole thing failed miserably. Unfortunately, the non-religious yeshuv did not support his efforts in a dignified way. He owed a lot of money. Many of his Chassidim died from sickness over there, malaria. He disappeared. He just disappeared. Gone. No more Yablana Rebbe. I figured that, like I said, I don't know. I thought he also died. So this fellow, Pinny Donner, did research. Really, some good, interesting research with documents and pictures, all kinds of stuff. Turns out that this great Hasidic Rebbe, Reb Cheskel Taub from the world of Majus and Kozhmir, it turns out that in disgrace and shame, because there were Hasidim, many Hasidim turned against him, he was beaten up by some Hasidim. It's hard to believe. Because of all the money that he didn't have, because everything fell apart. What turns out is that Reb Cheskel left Eretz Yisrael, and he went to California. He cut off his beard and pears, and he became a Machal Shabbos. It's shocking. He became a Machal Shabbos, and Oichel Nevelis and Shreifis didn't keep one thing, went against everything in the Torah. He changed his name to George Nagel. George Nagel. There are pictures of him graduating with honors. He was a genius. Graduating with honors when he was 70, he decided to get a degree in psychology. He became a millionaire in California. All of the years, he was cut off from everybody. The descendants of the Hasidim, the children, the grandchildren of the Hasidim, most of them were either dead or not religious, back in Kfar Hasidim, in that area. And he lived his years in California, completely separated from his family, from his people, and from Yiddishkeit, convinced that he was the worst and lowest person. He couldn't look at himself as a Jew. Ad kedei kach, that this Rebbe left Yiddishkeit. I'm not saying he just cut off his beard and pays. He left Yiddishkeit. How it happened, what happened, all the pratim, it's not for now. And they're still looking, people are looking into more of the details. It's fascinating. But what happened is that Reb Cheskel was sent. There was a letter back and forth from Kfar Hasidim, from some of the Jews there, found out where he was somehow. This is like 1978, 79. They found out where he was. And they said to him, they wrote to him, Heilige Rebbe, Holy Rebbe, you know, you saved all of our lives. Our families in Poland were all killed. All of our relatives were killed. You saved our lives. We're forever grateful to you. And we're waiting for you to come back to us. And at the end of his life, this Reb Chazkel Taub went back to Eretz Yisrael. He grew back his beard and payas. And he became the Yablon Rebbe over there. And he's buried. And there's a beautiful matzeva that's in the pictures there of that clip. Kroid Kedushas Ha'admar Reb Chazkel Harav HaKodesh HaTzadik Reb Chazkel Taub from. Do I have to explain that story? It's a story of Atakvar Higata, Reb Chazkel. You thought that God was finished with you like the Jews of Bavel? You thought that the story was finished? You thought that your chassidim, yeah, everybody hated you and was done with you and there was nowhere to go. All the years, they're just waiting for you. You're their rabbi. And 2 or 3 years before he died at Tzaddik. No more George Nagler, Rabbi Cheskel Taub. You look at the Matzeva, there's not one English word on it. Ha'admar from Yablon. The Rebbe of Yablon, that's how he died. For me, that's the most inspiring story, more than Rebbe's, you know, becoming invisible and doing stuff like that. Hashem is Baruch should help us. Let's get out of that river of Kvar. Kvar Nagila Shana Tova Matuka, that we should already come into a good year. Now, into a beautiful new year, everything fresh, everything new. I want to wish each and every one of you and myself and all Jews that we should be Nechtovim, Nechtovim, Besifrim, Shel Sadikim, complete Mechil and complete Kapara, Slicha Mechil Kapara, and more than anything, for the Gulash of Amitis, Mehem Yemen Amen Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.